You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The analysis of the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, which we call sometimes in our Mamma Lashon Duchening, and to understand exactly the makar for it and the various rationales behind this specific concept of Birchas Kohanim, and at the end then to deal with the various minhagim we have around the world today, when and where we duchen, depending upon the various minhagim hamakamos, and you'll be surprised when it comes to what you see when it comes to that specific phenomenon. Now, what's fascinating is that the actual etzem mitzvah itself is recorded in Parshas Nosa, last week's Parsha. And in the Parsha itself, if you look on the first page of the Pesukim I have in Parshas Nosa, you have contained over here the actual text of the command to give Birchas Kohuna and what should be said in the Nusach of the Bracha by the Kohanim to Klal Yisrael. It says in Pasuk of Beis, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Leymar, Daber el Aaron vel Bonav Leymar, Ko Sevarchu, this is the way you're going to bless Klal Yisrael, Es Bnei Yisrael Em Olehem, say unto them, as the actual bracha is going to be recited. Em Olehem has two major interpretations. One is that the actual hazmana should be done audibly when it comes to for the actual chazin or the mezamein to say to the kohanim, we're now requesting for you to actually recite the birchas kohanim. That's why we have many kehilos, the chazin screaming out kohanim as a hazmana. That's one major pshat over here. What the Em Olehem means, the Rambam surely in most poskim hold, that's a prerequisite if you have at least two Kohanim going to give the actual Birchas Kohuna. When it comes to one Kohen, there's a big machlekes amongst the Rishonim, whether he needs a Hazmana or he should turn around by himself and in fact start the Birchas Kohanim without the actual official Hazmana. It's a major machlekes poskim Rishonim what to do. Some poskim suggest that to take yourself out of the machlokas, to say the beginning of the birchas kohen that we do in the davening, to say the nusach itself that we say every day as a private shliach tzibur, and in it you have mentioned kohenim as well. So you're saying it as a nusach hatfila, not as a specific hazmana to two kohanim or to one kohen, as a way of avoiding the machlokas we showed him concerning this. But one thing is for sure, that when you have two Kohanim, Klal Yisrael is supposed to ask them, be mazman them, to give us the Achol Birchas Kohuna. In fact, the Chidah, in his analysis of Birchas Kohanim, phrases it that Klal Yisrael are placing with their Em Olehem, the bracha, the Kohanim, that are giving and articulating, they're placing the bracha upon themselves. So it's not merely according to the Chidah, the Klal Yisrael apostle participants, but the way he learns and the way he phrases it, Klal Yisrael are proactive with their hazmana to the Kohanim, say what you have to say, and we're going to use what you're saying and place it and take it and place it upon ourselves, that these brachos should be mekuyim inside us. That's the way the Chidah in this unique way formulates this specific mitzvah itself. And everybody agrees with him, but that's the Chidah's approach to the Em Olehem as well.
Is the reason you need to, because Lahem is Lashon Rabim, is that so?
Yeah.
What is the significance of Am Kedosh HaKomor in our Duchen?
The fact of the matter is that whether you say that or you don't say it, when it was added into the Nusach of the Tila, is an interesting historical phenomenon. Some have a meaning Am Kedosh HaKomor is not said by the Kohanim or the actual Chazen, but by the Tzibur itself. How late in development of the Nusach HaTfilah that became a meaning for us to say it is a good question. And not everybody does say it or not, but a different minhag when it comes to that. Surely not Ma'akev the Birchas Kohanim, but there are, however, meaning that the Tzibur says that after the Kohanim Hazman is basically made. Now, what is interesting, Kosavarchu, the Mefarshim point out, and this is mentioned by the Ela Rabba, many of the Gedolei Achronim, that when you have Ko seems to imply not only is there an audio command being given to Klal Yisrael and being given to the Kohanim, but there was also an audio-visual command, that there was a difficulty exactly in the minds of the Kohanim, how to place the fingers, how to place the hands. So therefore, Kol means that Rabbi Nishim gave them a nevuah, so to speak, a audio-visual, divine audio-visual, how to position the hands in such a way that the Mekayim, the mitzvah of Nesiyas Kapayim, you're not yet to the mitzvah Bechas Kehuna by just saying the bracha without Nesiyas HaKapayim. And we'll see very shortly in the shir tonight. What?
You know that from the Pasuk in Shmini. No reference here by Yisrael, but in Shmini.
Well, the fact of the matter is we're going to get to Shmini very shortly. But one thing is for sure, this Sivui came after what happened in Pasha Shmini. There's no Mugim Bukim B'Tarov over there. What happened over there, I'm going to get to very shortly. But I will tell you right now that the Kos of Archa, the way it's interpreted by the Gedolei Achronim, is that there was an audio-visual demonstrated to the Kohanim of exactly how to position their fingers, how to hold the fingers separate, to have, ultimately speaking, five avirim when it comes to one avir, another avir, an avir between the thumbs, another avir, having five different avirim. They bring various psukim from Shir Shirim, Menar Achakim, that Hashem looks through five different cracks through the hands of the fingers of the Kohanim to bestow the bracha upon Klal Yisrael. But an audio-visual was used in teaching them how to position their hands. I'll get to Pashas Shmini very shortly, because there we learned some other important things, especially when it comes to positioning of the hands. There's one thing I want to mention to you over there, which you'll understand very shortly. Now, I just want to first finish over here these psukim as a hagdama and get into the bigger topic at large. Now, what's interesting is we then have the actual nusach of the bracha Birchas Kohanim. In the Chumash itself is divided into three separate brachos, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha, the second bracha, Yor Hashem panav elecha v'yichonecha, the third bracha, Yisra Hashem panav elecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. Now there are midrashim in the Sifrei, and on the Sif, when it comes to interpretation of what this pasuk means, I would say by and large the most famous consensus amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim who are involved in Perush HaMikra say Yerech Shem Yishmerech is a special bracha referring to Parnasa of Klal Yisrael, the attainment of one's materialistic needs and necessities. Not only Hashem should bless you to get this materialism you need, Yishmerech, you should be able to hold on to the money, keep the money, and not gamble it away or lose the money. So therefore, that's what the Yishmerech tells you over here, or shouldn't be gagandred from you. The second pasuk, Yishmer panav elecha v'yichonecha, is interpreted by most of the Midrashim and Rishonim as a bracha in attainment of ruchnius, attainment of understanding the depths of Torah Shebitzav and Torah Shelapeh. Hashem should give us siyata d'shmaya, how to understand it. In fact, in the nusach of the bracha we recite in Birchas HaTorah each and every day, we don't say nasan haTorah, we say nosen haTorah, and the Magen Avraham says you have to feel. So when it comes to a person learning Torah, even when there's the Yagati Matsasi, you have to realize if you really want to understand Torah, the Gemara says in Megillah Davav, you have to have Siyata Deshmaya, so you have to feel as if Hashem standing in front of you, giving you the Hashkacha Pratis you need and the divine instruction and help how to understand Torah on the highest level possible. Shashem should enlighten there for our eyes in the words of the Torah, V'chanecha, give us chayin, give us the concept of, chayin could also refer to Taras Nister, because sometimes Taras Nister is referred to chayin as a special type of love Hashem has for us, giving us that intense understanding. But one thing is for sure, it's a bracha on the ruchnius of Klal Yisrael, and that's what we're requesting over here. The third bracha, Yishmerech Hashem Panav Elecha V'yaseim Lecha Shalom, is dealing with Hashem's Hashkacha Pratis. There should be intense Hashkacha Pratis with the Jewish people, based upon the Schus of being the Am HaNivchar, and that Hashkacha Pratis should ultimately end up in the biggest bracha you possibly can have, and that's the bracha of Shalom, having peace. The greatest bracha we are mispallel for each and every day in Hashemoneh Esrei, of all the brachos, is the Birchas HaShalom. So therefore, this refers to Hashem's divine providence, Hashkacha Pratis and Klal Yisrael, His favorability with Am HaNivchar, with Am Segula. So that is the purpose of bracha number 3 when it comes to the Berachas Kehuna. So we're dealing with Gashmias, we're dealing with Ruchnias, and we're dealing with the concept of Hashkacha Pratis on a very high conceptual and practical level. Now, the pasuk at the end is the problematic one. V'samu shmi abnei Yisrael v'ani avarchem, place my name on Klal Yisrael, and I shall give them the bracha. What does this mean? I mean, what is therefore the pasuk telling us of here? Place my name on Klal Yisrael, and I will give them the bracha. So you ask yourself the question, so who's blessing Klal Yisrael? Are the Kohanim blessing Klal Yisrael, or is the Rabbanu Shem blessing Klal Yisrael? Now, I want to show you something quite interesting in the Midrashim on this specific topic itself, which will bring us to the next part of the topic. Let me just show you something quite fascinating. In the sheets you have in front of you, turn to page number 4. On page number 4 in the Mar Mekomos, there are 4 Midrashi Chazal I have that define the interpretation of these psukim differently. The Gemara in Chulin brings the Rabbi Shmuel, that's quotation number 1 on page 4. Lamadnu bracha l'Yisrael, bracha l'kohanim atzamam lo lamadnu, k'sh'om ani avarchem havayom kohanim avarchem Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch mevarach l'kohanim. So according to Rabbi Shmuel's version, the first 3 brachas are given by the kohanim as brachas to the Jewish people, and the 4th ani avarchem means the kohanim with the mevarchem. Where are they going to get the bracha from? So the Rabbi Shem says, when it comes to their bracha, I give it directly to them. They give it to Klal Yisrael, I give it directly to them. There's a Kabbalistic interpretation. What? Yeah. But I'm saying that the technically speaking, B'derech B'teiras Nigla, that is what the actual Medrash means according to Chazal. But the fact of the matter is that according to Derech Nister, according to Kabbalistic interpretations, there is another meaning of this Medrash Chazal. And that is, what this means very simply is that according to the Kabbalah, the Kohanim are basically vehicles. They are mediums with which the Rabbeinu Shalom gives over the brachas you're asking for to Klal Yisrael. So what the Rabbeinu Shalom does is that when, basically speaking, the Kohanim themselves are technically speaking giving over the Birchas Kehuna, what are they really giving over? What they're really giving over is, Ani Avarchem, the bracha and all its ramifications that Hashem instilled into the Kohanim before they articulated one word of Birchas Kehuna, which means they're basically an empty kli. When they go up to the Aveda, to do the Aveda, to do Birchas Kohanim, Hashem infuses them with divine Hashpam and Hashemayim as a medium of bracha for Klal Yisrael. So Hashem says, place my name on Klal Yisrael, which means you're going to, ultimately speaking, give over functionally the bracha to Klal Yisrael as a conduit, as a medium of Hashpah. I'll fill you with the bracha, therefore, like filling you with potential high-test gasoline, so to speak, of a bracha. I'm going to fill you up, Kohanim, and after you are filled with the bracha I've given you, as you articulate that bracha, you're basically giving out from you the bracha that I filled you in. So, Somish Mevenesov, Ani Avarchem, place my name on the Klal Yisrael, Ani Avarchem, I'm going to bless you that you will have the capacity, what? To ultimately give over the bracha to Klal Yisrael. That's a different interpretation of this Medrash Chazal, but on a Kabbalistic level, that's they look upon the Kayin as a Cheftza, using Bristol terminology, rather than a Gavra. He's a vehicle, he's a conduit. The same way the Mukubalim point out to the Rabbanish when it came to supervision of this world, specifically the Mukubalim, in particular the Maramchal, or the Ramban in his parish, L'chumash, who was a Mekubal as well, he points that when Hashem has Hashpa upon this world, he uses the Malachim and the Chacham and Mazalos as the medium to bring his brachos and Shefa, min HaShemayim, from his holy abode, down to Klal Yisrael here below. So they're mediums of giving out the bracha to mankind living in the world below. The Rabbeinu Shem basically places the potential in the Malachim and in the Chacham Mazalos, and they are the ones who give it out to us. In a similar vein, the Mukabalim point out that Kohanim is serving as chafotzim, as entities, in which Hashem is instilling them with the divine bracha, and therefore when they open their mouths and they give it out, they're like pipes, divine pipes. Like Hashem is medabim, but take gremishul kohen, the bracha comes out to Klal Yisrael. They are the vehicle of the bestowal of the bracha. That's the way the first Medrash tells us.
Is that the reason why they use the way it's after the first two blessings? And
that's a later phenomenon. I'm not even going to get into that right now. That's a separate phenomenon. Now, if you look at the second Medrash Chazal, the Tanchuma, Amar Knesset Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, L'Kohanim HaTorah Omer L'Varcheinu, you're telling the Kohanim to give us the bracha? I don't want the Kohen to give us the bracha. I want you, the Ribono Shel Olam, to give us the bracha. Hashkif Aman Kashecha U'Bereich HaSamecha. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem answers Klal Yisrael, Af Pi Shamati L'Kohanim Shimavarchem Eschem. It's true. I did tell the Kohanim that they should be the vehicle of bestowal of bracha, but I want you to know, ani omeid imahem umavarech etchem, which means they are going to join me as I give the bracha over to you. They're going to be like, so to speak, Hashem's divine choir participating in the pronouncement and the bestowal of the bracha upon Klal Yisrael itself. And this, going to this Medrash Chazal, that's Hashem is when it says you have to make the five different finger openings. Hashem is if it makes it min acharakim, is as if Hashem is looking through the fingers and basically giving Klal Yisrael bracha together with Klal Yisrael. That's the Medrash Tanchuma's approach. But look at the next two. The Sifrei says, "Menayin shlo yu Yisrael omrim birchaseim tuliyas bekohanim, vakohanim lo yu omrim anu nevarach Yisrael," which means a certain gaivus halev or dependency might develop in people's misunderstanding of the mechanics of Birchas Kohuna. Klal Yisrael might think that their whole brach depends upon the goodwill of the Kohanim. And if the Kohanim are having a bad day and they don't want to give us a bracha, maybe we ain't going to get a bracha from them. On the other hand, the Kohanim should not be such balagaiva to think we control the whole situation. So maybe if that's the case, halacha lamasa, we ourselves can therefore decide whether today we're in the mood to give a bracha or not give a bracha. And many Kohanim sometimes have a gaiva to let to think that way. So how do we know we shouldn't say this? Tamalom and Yavarchem, whether Klal Yisrael have the cooperation of the Kohanim or not, the Kohanim should realize, even if they don't give a bracha, Klal Yisrael will get the bracha nevertheless. And Klal Yisrael should realize the ultimate bracha is coming from the Ribono Shel Olam, whether the Kohanim want to participate or not. That really brings up the big question, what's stuff we're hoping the Kohanim then? If we're worried about people misconceiving their functional position, why put a person in a position that they should misconceive what their power is? But the Sifrei Zuta is perhaps the most powerful. The Sifrei Zuta says in number 4, Yachalim Ratzel Levarchis Yisrael Harei Muvorachim. We might think if the Kohanim want to bless Klal Yisrael, they are blessed. If the Kohanim go on strike that day, they are not going to get the bracha whether they like it or not. Tamalom ani avarchem. I'm going to have Klal Yisrael blessed nevertheless. Bein rotzim, bein lo rotzim. Whether the Kohanim want to participate or not, Klal Yisrael is going to get the bracha. Ani avarchem in Hashemayim. So this is a chazak kashul l'duchta to the first question I posed. If that's the case, vus daf mohobin the kohanim, with all due respect, zaytais, we're going to get the bracha anyway. Right. So what are the kohanim doing over here? What is their purpose? What is their functional role? Which I'm going to share with you within a couple of minutes. But I want you to realize that's why I'm saying the last statement in the Birchas Kohuna, which is not a Birchas Kohuna, is a statement of fact, seems to contradict the whole need and the function of a Kohen itself. So what is the purpose of the Kohenim if Birchas Kohuna, if at the end of the day, the Ribono Shel Olam is the supply of the bracha, Ani Avarchem, Hashem is the ultimate Mevarach of Klal Yisrael, what are the Kohenim doing over here in this entire process? Now, what I want to share with you, Rabbi Isai, is the following Mahalich based upon many of the Gedolei, Rishonim, and Achronim, the Akedas Yitzchak, the Sefer Chinuch, and a whole bunch of other Rishonim deal with this problem. And I want you to listen very carefully as I prepare you to hear what they basically say. I first want to use an Abarbanel in his Hagdama to Birchas Kuna Pashas Naso, in which he points out a very interesting fact. You don't have this in front of you. This is purely Teresh Lapeh, but you have the capacity, Rabbi Yisrael, because the Pasek I'm going to quote to you is the Pasek everybody sitting in this room knows. There's a very famous Pasek of Malachi that says, Ki sifse koam yishmur das, that the lips of the Kohen watch das, the Torah mevakshim epiyu, and Torah should be basically searched after from their mouths, Ki malech Hashem Savakasu. Very famous pasuk we say Malachi during the year. Some of the haftaras have this. Ki sifse koam yishmur das Torah mevakshim epiyu ki malech Hashem Savakasu. So the question over here is, and Fachazal have a medrash upon this, if the Kohen is doimel malach Hashem Savakos, yivakish mipiyu. Yim lav ayivakish mipiyu. If the Kohen is like a malach Hashem Savakos, he asks that person to teach you Torah. If they're not doimel to malach Hashem Savakos, and I won't say what the opposite might be, that's not the person you're seeking, searching to be the repository of whom you want to basically dwell upon their knowledge base and draw Torah from them. So says the Abarbanel, what is the deeper meaning of the Pasuk over here in Pasuk Malachi? Now listen to the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says that the word Kohen, the term of a Kohen, really has two biblical roots. And this is the real beginning of the essence of tonight's shiur in one major part. He points out the word Kohen means the word mechin, to prepare, from the word hachana. He also points out the word Kohen can come from a different root, the word of mechonein, which means to direct, to guide. And he says the fact of the matter is, a Kohen, initially by the Rabbeinu Shalom, was given two jobs which were alluded to in the Pasuk of Malachi. Mitzad Echad, what does it say? Ki sifse koim yishu das v'tevakshme pihu, that the purpose of the Kohanim and Levim initially, if you look historically in Tanakh, going all the way back, we'll go to the first parak of the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Rambam says that of all the children that Yaakov had, the one that was appointed to become the Rosh Yeshiva, to be the Malami Torah to Klal Yisrael initially, from the very beginning, even though initially the Becharim were going to be the Kohanim, they were going to be Makir the Karbanos before the Chet of the Egel Hazav, but when it comes to the Malamdim, the teachers, the Rabbeim, the Rosh Yeshivas, the Kedomer, Yaakov already perceived that of all his children, the one that's most roy for this specific position is Levi. And therefore the Rama says he was Moshe of him as the Rosh HaYeshiva of Klal Yisrael for generations, going back to the time of Yaakov. When Yaakov was giving his children blessings and telling each one what I want you to do and accomplish in your lifetime as part of the mission of Klal Yisrael, the Rosh Yeshiva job, the Rav job, the Pesach, the Dayan, was supposed to be basically Levi, or the Kohanim, which quite obviously are a chelik of Levi. So therefore they are the Mechinim. They are the ones who therefore are making us by teaching Torah. At the same point in time, they are the Mechoninim. What does that mean? To really impact upon a Talmud, a student, a male or female student, the best way you do it is by being an excellent role model. Not only are you a darshan of Torah, but you are a personification in being meticulous in Torah of Mitzvahs. And when people watch how you conduct yourself in the application of Torah of Mitzvahs, you have sometimes a greater hashpah as the role model than as the articulator. The biggest problem a person could have in chinuch, if there's a stira between the mechin and the mechonein. If the Torah's mechin, you're a gavaldik alamdin, but mechonein, you're a terrible Torah role model, and on the contrary, an anti-role model. We have many scandals that have taken place over the years. It basically is a contradiction in terms, and basically it's a wipeout. So says the Abarbanel, this is what the pasuk means. The Sif Sekar Yishmudat Torah Vakshmi Piyu. They're the repository of Torah's Hachanah to be making you to give you all the knowledge of Kol HaTorah Kula as the Rabbanim and the Rosh Yeshivas and the Gedol Yisrael. But what is that going to be? What are they going to be? Proper Mechanim? Ki Malach Hashem Tzakov. So if the proper Mechonanim, if they're proper role models, if they're proper guides. So that's what Chazal Midrash Tashin. If the Rebbe is Daim L'Malach Hashem Tzavakos, he's a tremendous Mechonin role model, Torah of Akshem Epiyo, learning Torah from him will have a value for you. If basically speaking, he is basically a hypocrite, a Darshan Zeir Shein, but in his private life or religious life, he has a secret, different type of life entirely, that contradiction uproots whatever Torah you learn from them, causes a Chil Hashem, and causes quite obviously a counterproductive impact upon their students and upon Klal Yisrael. So therefore says the Abarbanel, the Shevet Levi, the Shevet Kohanim, had that functionality. What's interesting, Rabbi Yisrael, to prove the Pshat of the Abarbanel, is he then runs to the Brach which Moshe gave to Levi, and the Kohanim in his Brechas Moshe at the end of the Torah in Sefer Devarim. Moshe says, Ulelevi Omar, Tumecha Urecha L'ish Chasidecha, Yormish Batecha L'Yakov V'Tarasga L'Yisrael. That in order for Levi to function the way he has to function, and to be able to Yormish Batecha L'Yisrael, to be able to be the Malam De Torah, you have to be an ish chasidecha. You have to be like a turim and a urim. You have to be, Rabbi Yisrael, on a very holy spiritual level to be able to be zeicha to wear the big day kahuna and the kain godo, especially to be able to answer the divine questions, wearing the divine computer contained in the cheshen and mishpat and such. You have to be a gavur roi to get that ruach hakodesh to accomplish this. So Moshe therefore alluded to the due role of a Kohen and a Shevet Levi when it comes to this functionality. For this reason, Rabbi Yisai, Chazal tell us that even amongst the Levium, there was the division of duties. When they quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin, or Salvation brings this down. He says, Moshe, the Gemara says, Masechta Sanhedrin, Yikav Adina Sahar. Moshe was the disseminator, Rabbi Yisai, when it came to Habatzis HaTorah to Klal Yisrael. What was Aaron's functional role? Aaron was the Oyev Shalom, Aredev Shalom, Oyev Abrius, Makavim, the Torah, which means to say that he was the role model example of a person who personifies Avas Israel and the desire to Makarev Klal Yisrael on the highest possible level. So if that's the case, what the Rav used to say is, when you take Moshe's personality and you take Aaron's personality, you now have the dual dimension of what Shevet Levi was supposed to accomplish. The teaching was supposed to be on a fervent level, like a Moshe being a Malamid. Moshe was the Rosh Yeshiva. Aaron HaKohen, the Rav used to call the first prototype of a Hasidah Sherebbe when it comes to role model example, inspiring his Hasidim to follow his role model example. Rav uses those terminologies. He points out, therefore, that Moshe was the Rosh Yeshiva. Aaron, he says, was basically speaking the Hasidah Sherebbe, who through his Hashpah, through running his court by looking upon the Rebbe and seeing his Hadar, his Panim, the way he conducted his life, everything from Shas Adin, he acted like a Malach Hashem Tzavakais. The Rav Zatzal points out that later on you have this being played out in a further machlekes amongst Rishonim between the Rambam and between the Beis Halevi. When it comes to connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it a pure intellectual process which you accomplish by learning Torah, which he says was Moshe Rabbeinu's Mahalech, and that was the Mahalech later on adopted by the Gaon that came to be Mashpi upon his Talmidim to relate to Hashem through intellectualism. And the Rambam was the major articulation of this in the between, because the Rambam basically says your Avas Hashem, your connection to Hashem, and all that you perceive when it comes to the idea Elohim is based upon your learning. How deep you go, how far you go, how intense your learning is, lefi yidiyosav, your dias Hashem, hakaras Hashem, which brings to avat Hashem. That was the Rambam Shita, Moshe Rabbeinu, Rambam, ultimately ending up with the Vilna Gaon. He says, when it comes to Aaron HaKohen, who were the ones who were his protagonists, He says, Yehuda Levi says the Ribbono Shel Olam does not just to be comprehended, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to be apprehended through tefillah, through shira, through zimra, through experiential activities, ruchnias of that level that turn people on, dancing, singing, and therefore that was the mahalach of Yehuda Halevi, apprehension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Baal Shem Tov and the Hasidim personified this when it came to their Avedas Hashem. And what the Rav says, interesting, at the end of this specific article that he wrote, if you ask what my humble opinion is, what's going to be at the end of the days, who's going to win out? So the Rav says a prophetic statement. He says, mark my word, and he brings the pasuk to prove this, at the end of time, as we come towards the end of days, and today is a classic example, what you're going to see happening is that the Litvisha Rosh Yeshivas are going to start conducting themselves via Chassidus Sherebes, like you have the first most famous one. You know who the first most famous one was in modern Jewish history? Do you know what I'm talking about? The Rosh Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. He started the concept of Firin Zich via a Rebbe Shekort. You know, you had to walk a certain way in or a certain way out as you're going in front of a Rebbe. He was the first personification of this, because he started wearing a shtramel also. The fact of the matter is, he was the beginning of that type of mizug. And when it comes to the Chassidus Shevelt, where they always push Shira v'Zimra, Shtach v'Salev, and Tzedakah and Chesed, now there's a tremendous push. How big gedolim in knowledge of Chumash Baal Peh, Mishnah Baal Peh, Gemara Baal Peh, there's a tremendous push in which they're accentuating. Look how much Torah, Abnei Torah, learned in the yeshivas. So they want to accept more the concept of the intellectual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rav forecasts at the end of days, there's going to be a mizug of both camps together, and there's going to therefore be a pressing of both types of mahalchim simultaneously. At the end, it's not going to be very too easy to identify the differences between them, except maybe by the way they dress and the hitlach that they wear. But when it comes to mahalach of approach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, they're going to have both mahalchim and Moshe Aaron together, which is basically what a kohen was supposed to do as the initial personality, mechen as a rosh yeshiva and mechenen as a chassidish rebbe. Now let's get back to this. Now, why is this important? So comes along Rabbi Isai, the ultimate mechanech in amongst the Rishonim, the Akedas Yitzhak Ramah, in his parish Lechumish. And also you have later on the Sefer Chinuch. I want to turn to the Sefer Chinuch because that will save us time tonight. If you look at Yamar Mekamas, Rabbi Isai, that you have in front of you, you look at one more page number 5 of the Sefer Chinuch. The Sefer Chinuch has over here, Rabbi Isai, Shinitztavu HaKohanim, Sheyavarchi Yisrael b'chayom, Shneimakosavarchas b'nei Yisrael v'amalehem, Meshosh Yamitzvah. Now this is important. The obvious question is, he's dealing with the million-dollar question I posed before. If the Ribbono Shel Olam bestows the bracha, what in the world do we need the Kohanim for? Listen to what he says. Meshosh Yamitzvah, when it comes to Tami HaMitzvah, Shechafetz Hashem betuvo hagadol levarach amo aidei hamisharosim hachonim tamid bebeis Hashem v'chol machshavtam deveika bavodaso v'navsham kishur b'yiraso kol hayom u'bezchusum tochol habracha aleihem v'yizbarachu kol maaseihem v'inoam Hashem aleihem v'altitmo leimar u'chafetz Hashem bebirchasam yitzav yitvames habracha. This is the kasha I posed before. If the Ribbono Shel Olam says, "Ani avarchem, I'm going to bless them," so why do we need the Kohanim? So, and for the Sefer Chinuch, ki gavar hikdamti lecha panim rabos ki bekayach hechshem asenu, according to the spiritual fine tuning of our spiritual deeds, Tochel HaBracha Aleinu. That will intensify the Chaloshem of the intensity of the Bracha that comes upon us. Ki Yodo Baruch Hu P'such L'chol Shol B'yosa Mushar U'much L'kabal HaTov Akein Ki Bracha Banu B'kol HaAmim Ratza Sheniska B'tuv. Hashem wanted us to get the highest Bracha possible from Him. He wanted us to prepare ourselves that we should be mukshar as kelim hamakablim to receive the highest level of bracha and hashpah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu we possibly can receive. V'yosein Reb Uliam Elatov, Gam Tzivar B'tuva Gadol Lavakesh Memenu HaBaracha, V'shenisho Asa Ayideh HaMeshar Sumhat Tahirim, Ki Zeh Yeh Zuchus L'Nafshenu, U'mitoch Kach Nizkeh B'tuva. So the Chinuch's approach is that the sholem of the bracha should be on the highest spiritual plane and level possible, and they themselves, being the incredible klei habracha, as I mentioned, especially b'sheinu kubalim, to bring the shefa kadosh baruch hu down to this world on the highest level. So when the bracha is given to us, Rabbi Yisai, we're given the highest bracha. So he's dealing with one side of this. What the Akedis Yitzchak says is, and what the Rabbanel says as well, is that allows the conduits to bring the bracha into this world to be on the highest level based upon their spiritual attainments. But the Kohanim are supposed to interact with Klal Yisrael, being their malamdim, being their teachers, being their role models, to bring Klal Yisrael up to the highest level possible through the hashpa of having such great tzaddikim as being our role models, Gamal Hashem Zavakasu, being the ones who teach us Torah on the highest practical conceptual level itself. That is being made in us who are the Mekabli HaBracha. We should be brought up also to the highest level, so when the bestowers are on a high level and the Mekabim on a high level because of the hashpa of the Kohanim, the Shefa Bracha we're going to get Min HaShamayim is therefore going to be on the highest level as well. So in that case, the Kohanim are being Mechin and Mechonin Klal Yisrael to receive the Bracha on the highest level because of their role model example and the teachings of Torah they teach us, which not only do they teach us, they practice it and demonstrate reaching greatness in spiritual attainments. So it's a mutual communal activity. The Kohanim are needed to make sure we get the bracha on the highest level. But one thing is for sure, if there are no Kohanim available, and they're not around, and unfortunately sometimes you can have a shul on Yom Tov that there are no Kohanim around, Rabbi Yisai, does it mean you blew the whole thing? So the fact of the matter is, we recite the Birch Kohanim from the Siddur to tell them that even if, God forbid, there are no Kohanim, to be the Mechina Mechonim, or to be Mashpia, the bracha upon us, some should be in Bnei Israel, at least if the Kohanim during the rest of the year took Hashem's name and placed it upon us. What does that mean? That they were machshe Klal Yisrael with so much spirituality, so much ruchnius. There's another pasuk I didn't mention, which I'm going to mention now in Pashas Kisava. The pasuk says that how do we get the greatest ability to be the Am HaNivchar? So it says over there in the pasuk itself, when it comes to the Rabbeinu Shalom giving us tremendous Shefer Bracha, so it says first, V'halachta b'darachav. It says first, the passage, that we should follow Hashem's divine spiritual attributes portrayed in the Torah, anthropomorphically. And then it says over there, V'ro kol ami oretz, ki shem Hashem nikra lecha, v'yara mimecha. Now that's interpreted to mean, what do you mean, the Umas Olam will see the Shem Hashem placed upon us? If the Kohanim, if the Malamdim, if the Gedolei Yisrael do what they're supposed to do, Samu Shmi'a B'nei Yisrael, which means inspire us with the Ruchnius of the Torah, that it should penetrate our hearts and our minds and change us into people on a higher spiritual plateau. So if that's the case, when the Goyim of the world see us reaching that pinnacle of spiritual attainment, not only will we be zocha to birchas kohanim in the highest level, as I just mentioned, because of the hachon of the kohanim and the tzaddikim and the olam de Torah, the yaru mimecha, the Gaon says, they will teach the world by the way we act so differently, to be mekadesh shem shamayim and have fear of Hashem and reverence of Hashem and avat Hashem, mimicking, emulating Klal Yisrael when it comes to seeing what we accomplish and the way Hashem reacts to us. That in turn will bring the Gaiusha world to an understanding of Hashem controlling it all. Look what happens to Klal Yisrael when we listen to him. Look at the brachas Hashem gives upon us. You will get the same brachas if you basically attach yourself to Hashem on your respective level. There is a group now, you should know, in the Gaiusha world amongst evangelicals. Not everybody believes this way, but there is a group amongst evangelicals. The guy Meadows in the Congress, we once had a long talk with him a couple of months ago in Touro. He was invited with his wife to meet with the administrative staff. And he's known in the Congress to run every year multiple tours of Eretz Israel to try to convince members of Congress, the Senate, who are not as so much of Israel, bring it to Eretz Israel for a tour and to turn them on to Klal Israel and to the Jewish people and to their homeland as a way of, you know, giving Avas Israel a chance to spread and to become infectious in our Congress and our Senate. He's a known, this is what of his pulos he does. So what I want to point out to you is the following. We asked him in the middle of the dinner we had with him, what is the benefit you're getting by doing all of this? I mean, you already said to us that whatever the Bible says, they're literalists. Whatever the Bible says is true. God promised the land of Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people. It's theirs forever. They're eternal. They are the eternal Am HaNivchar. They don't believe in the concept of the theological replacement policy, that once the Christians were chosen, we were kicked out and they took our place instead. This group of evangelicals believe that we are the Am HaNivchar for Netzach Netzachim. So we ask him, if that's the case, so why are you working so hard? So you know what he answered. He says, because God said in the beginning of Bereishis, in the book of Genesis, yeah, in the Parsha Lech Lecha, yeah, those who bless the Jewish people will be blessed by God. And those who curse the Jewish people will be cursed by God. We want to be blessed by God and benefit by our association with the Jews, because God says, whoever blesses and helps the Jewish people will be blessed. If you ever saw commercials about the Jewish-Christian thing, that they are collect monies to try to help poor Yidden around the world, they always end up with this biblical phrase. God will bless you if you bless the Jewish people. It's, you know, there's a hashkafa like this, and I've done research, and there are some evangelical groups that really believe this. Not all of them believe this. Some believe that ultimately there's replacement theology that's going to take place at the end of time, but not this group of evangelicals. I've done my research on the topic. But getting back to this topic, Rabbi Isai, what I want to point out to you is you want to receive Birchas Kohanim on the highest level. We got to be brought to the highest level, and the ones who were slated to accomplish this, some of Shinibi Abnei Yisrael, make sure Klal Yisrael have God's name in everything that they do, that the Mekadesh Shem Shemayim in everything they do, and Avi Avarchem, if you bring them to that level, then I'll give them a bracha, but the bracha they're going to get is the bracha on the highest level possible. That is the functional role of the Kohanim, but if the Kohanim go on strike or they don't want to participate, they'll get the bracha anyway. Klal Yisrael might not get the highest level, but they're going to get the bracha one way or another because of the Amisagula. That's the way they reconcile the contradiction and the problems when it comes to this. Now, the next thing I want to show you, Rabbi Isai, and that is, if you look in the second Maamar Mekomos I handed out tonight, I want to deal with a problem that was mentioned before by our distinguished Balabas in residence. And what Shmuel asked is the question when it comes to when and where and how we position our hands in the Birchas Kohanim. Historically, Rabbi Isai, Pashas Nasa was said much later than the events mentioned in Pashamini. Over here, there's no Mukdamukh B'Teira. Pashamini took place in the Shnas HaMiluim, when basically speaking, at the end of the year before Chodesh Nisan, Moshe was Makadish, Aaron and his children to become the Meshorsei HaMikdash itself, and Moshe was Moshech, or the Kalim and everybody else. And on Chodesh Nisan, Aaron and his children took over doing the Aved itself. So it says over here, Rabbi Yisrael, on page number one in front of you, it says in Pasuk HaBeis, Vayisa Aaron es yodav Elaam, Vayavarchem, Vayered Masais Hachatos, turn the page, Ha'olav HaShlamim, Vayavar Moshe Aaron al-Moi, Vatzav Yavarch Lesuam, Vayavar Kvod HaShem, El Kol Ha'am. And over here, Chazal point out, and Rashi mentions, what was the bracha in Pasuk HaBeis that Aaron gave? He gave Birchas Kun Yivarech Yavyasa, which means to say, over here, he was not actually a Mitzvah V'os yet. The Tzivu Mitzvah Oisa first took place in Pashas Naso, but he already was revealed what the Nusach of the bracha is going to be. So after he finished the Avoda of bringing the Kabanos Rabbi Isai of the Meluim, from the very morning, Rabbi Isai, until he completed bringing the Karban Musaf on that day, after he finished doing the Avedas Ashachris, of the Talmud of Kedemer and the brachas of Chinuch and the Karbanas of Musaf, he came down from the altar, and at that juncture, he basically gave a bracha to Klal Yisrael, the first time Klal Yisrael ever got a Birchas Kehuna. If you look, Rabbi Yisai, on quotation F, on page number 1, the Medrash Chazal is the Talmud Yerushalmi in Tainis, the Nailan and Sisa Kabkain, but Musaf, Shinem, Yvarchem, Verim, Asas Achatos, Halo, Tzarch, Loim, Yerim, Asas Chatos, Yvarchem, Elam Alamed, Shibi Yodosul, Elam Zbeach, which meant after he finished doing the Avodah, that's when he gave us the first time the Birchas Kehuna mentioned over here historically in the Torah, even though the actual tzav of the Mitzvah Lederos was first codified and contained later on in Pashas Nasa, just historical phenomenon. Now, the important part of your Rabbi Yisai is, from here we see that in the Beis HaMikdash, the actual Birchas Kehuna takes place after you do Avodah. On days, Rabbi Yisai, where you have a Karban Tamid and there's no Karban Musaf, so the Rambam Paskins in Hilchas Tamidah Musafim Kedemer, that after they process the entire Karban HaTamid of the morning, after all of that stuff's done, and the Aveirim Abedarim and the Aveirim were burnt Agami Mizbeach, it's at that juncture that the Kohanim go up to the Duchin. And what's the Duchen? I'll show you very short what the Duchen is. And they pronounce the Birchas Kohanim to Klal Yisrael itself. Now, what does that mean functionally? So, Rabbi Yisrael, I have a treat for you tonight. I even have pictures for you. Turn on this little chaveret to page number 5. On page number 5, what you have in front of you, Rabbi Yisrael, is a very interesting scene. You have now the Kohanim standing on the Ulam steps. The Ulam steps, Rabbi, if you remember, for those who are learning the Sefer Zavacha now, was to the western sector of the Mizbeach, and their backs are towards the Ulam, their faces facing towards the Mizbeach, and since they're high up, they're facing towards the Ezras Kohanim and the Ezras Yisrael, whichever Jews were tar enough to enter the Ezras Yisrael and the Kohanim and Kedem Leviim, they were the ones who were the Mekabli HaBracha inside the Azura of the Beis HaMikdash. If you notice, Rabbi say they're holding their hands in a certain type of format over here. And therefore, this bracha was bestowed, Rabbi Yisai, after the Hakravas HaKarban HaShachris was basically Hukrav in the Beis HaMikdash each and every day. That is when, technically speaking, the Birchas Kohanim was bestowed. There are Shittos who claim that it was bestowed a couple of times during the day, but the first was after the Karban Tumah Shel Shachar. Some say when there was a Tumah HaMusif, Musaf as well, they did the Birchas Kohanim at Tzvei Tamal, which means not only did they do it by Shachris, they did it by Musaf. And still Eretz Yisrael, there's some places today that they do the Birchas Kohanim by Shachris and by Musaf following that specific Mahalech when it comes to doing it twice, because we believe Tefillah is connected to Midam Tiknum. So if that's the case, the Tefillah, which is B'mokim the Karban, is therefore when you finish the Tefillah, basically towards the end, and you come to the Avodah part of the Shemoneh Esrei, the brachas of Yom Tov Davening, that's when the Avodah, which starts with Ritzei, at Ritzei they ascend the Duchin, if you're in the base of Knesses, and they position themselves, that's looked upon the completion of the Avodah of the Shemoneh Esrei, B'makam HaKarban, and that's when they bestow the bracha upon us. Some kehilas do it b'shachris and b'musaf, some do it only b'musaf and chutz laretz. We only do it b'musaf, we don't do it b'shachris, for reasons I'll explain to you very shortly. But this picture depicts what the Kohanim used to stand upon that was higher than everything else, the steps going from the Azara up to the Ulam on the highest steps, so their bodies and their physical position could be seen by the audience on the other side when it comes to be Mekabel the Brach itself. Now, what is important to note, Rabbi Yisai, is the following factor. And that is, I want to show you the interesting phenomenon when it comes to positioning hands. Now, I mentioned that you have to have 5 different air spaces, I'm going to call in, between the hands, one air space here, one air space here, between the thumbs is an air space, another air space, and an air space over here. Now, the question, however, is, if you look in the pasuk, it says, Vayis Aaron es Yodov, Yodov seems to be saying Yodov. The ksiv is one, the kri is multiple. So over here, there's a Medrash Chazal upon this. And what's the Medrash Chazal? See, if you look very carefully, the Medrash Chazal says, what is this coming to teach us? It comes to teach us that, looking where it says quotation B, Mikan lebichas kohenim kishubenesias kapayim. Yadaksiv mikachet zorach akoyim lahakbir yada hayaminis kitsas lamaila minhas samailis. You hold the hands together, but the right hand of the Kohen should be a little higher than the left hand, to show you the power of the Amin when it comes to the bestowal of the Brach itself. If a Kohen cannot lift up his hands, b'nesias kapayim, Rabbi Isai, he cannot do the Avodah of Birchas Kohenim. He has to be able to stand independently, he has to be able to raise his hands independently, otherwise he's puzzled to do this Avodah. That is for sure. Another major difference, Rabbi Yisrael, which the Mishnah says in Masechtas Sota, which is brought down Halacha Lamasa, is that there were two Birchas HaKohanim on a Deraisa level in Klal Yisrael every day. There was the Birchas HaKohanim that took place in the Makom HaMikdash, and there was the Birchas HaKohanim that took place outside the Makom HaMikdash in the Medina, in all the Bati Knesses and shuls around Eretzrael. Both were on a Deraisa level. The Rambam articulates, let's go back now to the first Marim HaKamas Rabbi Yisai. I want to show you this inside. If you look at Rabbi Yisai specifically, on page number 2 of the first Marim HaKamas I gave out tonight, the Rambam is very explicit when it talks about in the 14th chapter of Hilchos Tefillah. So he points out, in fact, there were, in fact, two types of birchas kohanim that took place, one in the Mikdash and one outside the Mikdash. If you look, Rabbi Yisrael, Halacha Gimel, where it says, Halacha Gimel Ketzad, Ketzah hi nesiyas ha-kapayim be-gavulim, outside the Makom HaMikdash, Be'esh yegiyah shle'yotzibu le'avodah, kishomer etzei, kol kohanim ha-omdim be-beis ha-knesses, ne'karmim me-kamam, v'holchim v'olim l'duchim v'omdim shom p'neim la-heichel, which means they're facing the Heichel, where the Sefer Torahs are, Acharem Kalapi Am, and the backs are towards the Am. Es Pesem Kefufos L'Soka, Peyem HaShir, Yashlam Shlei Tzibor, HaHoidah, the Berchus Haidah, and then Machsirim Peneim Kalapi Am, Poshtem Etzpeim, or Magrin Yadeim Kenegir Chaspeim, Hu Maschilin Yivarechecha. The Ramashit the Rabbi Say is the first word was not hukra. According to other Rishonim, even the first word had to be hukra by the Shliat Tzibor. Shliat Tzibor makra samila b'mila, heim onim shenema amo lehem, ad shiyomar, hukish shemashlim in pasek rishu v'lam onim amen. The chosh Shliat Tzibor makra sam pasek shal sheni mila b'mila, heim onim o, the mashlam pasek sheni v'galam onim amen, v'chein b'pasek shlishi. You will not find over here, asked the question before, any mention about when the brachas are being done, like in Eretz Israel, the Amen's answered immediately. They don't give you time to talk about being mevatel bad dreams. In the initial Birchas Kohanim, we have Rabbi Yisai on Yom Tiv, where you have the last word articulated and sung to give you the chance to say those Yehirat songs. On a deraisa level, going back to the time of antiquity, Zaytais Zinishkahat Zalach Hazakrit. That was a later phenomenon that was added. The Amen, like you do in Eretz Yisrael, if you ever went to Birchas Kohanim Eretz Yisrael, they say it immediately. They don't give you time to say anything else in between. Just be aware of that. Now, what I want to mention to you, Rabbi Isai, if you turn out to page number 3, I'm going to go back to page number 2 very shortly, but I want to show you something, page number 3. It says, Halacha Tes, Kates a Birchas HaKohanim B'Mikdash. How do you do it in the Mikdash? Both are deraisa, Rabbi Isai. Hakonim olam luduchan acha sheyashlimu hakonim avodas tamei shel shach, as I mentioned before. Magbin yadayim lamala al gabi roshayim v'etzpeim peshutim. Now this is one major difference. Where the kohanim outside the Makom HaMikdash have the hands functionally facing and pointing towards the tzibor, when they did it in the Makom HaMikdash, their hands were basically facing towards Shamayim. That was one major difference between the Birchas Kohuna inside the Mikdash, outside the Mikdash. Outside was facing this way, inside was facing up to Shamayim. Rav Hirsch has a beautiful pshat upon this. He says, the pshat adava is that in the Mikdash there were so many miracles taking place in the Makom HaMikdash, so the imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine presence, you could feel, you can sense it in the Makom HaMikdash. Why do the Kohanim therefore point their hands to Shemayim? To talk about and teach people, even though God's divine presence is imminent, we believe in the transcendence of Hashem's divine essence, which means Malik Aretz Kavodo. It's not just stuck here in the Makom HaMikdash, but it transcends the entire universe. So they pointed with the hands as an instructive device that the Hashem Shechina, which hovered over their fingers in the Makom HaMikdash, and that's one of the reasons the Baal HaTosfos point out you weren't allowed to look upon the Kohanim when they were duchening, because if the Shechina of Hashem was hovering over their fingers pointing to Shemayim, it could blind you. So therefore, the fact that in the Makom HaMikdash they pointed upwards, outside they pointed, and why they point their hands outwards in the Gevulim? Because outside the Makom HaMikdash, that Hashem Olaretz Kavod, Hashem is in Shemayim, is something that everybody believes and sees, because you know you don't see Hashem in front of you. What they do in Birchas Kohen is they want to tell you that during Birchas Kohen, Hashem does us a favor. He has a Tzimtzum HaShechina that He brings down, and their fingers are facing the Tzibet to say that Hashem, and during Birchas Kohenim, demonstrates the imminence of His Shechina in our Beis HaKnesses, in our little yeshiva, taking place during the recitation of the bracha. So where the transcendence is taken for granted outside the Makom HaMikdash, there you have to emphasize the imminence, the hands are facing towards the Tzibur. In the Mikdash, where the imminence of Hashem is felt, there you have to accentuate the transcendence of HaKadosh Baruch. This is a Hirshian concept, but it explains the difference. Let's go back now to the Rambam inside. The Rambam says, V'omes Hashem k'ksavo, which means to say, Rabbi Isai, there's the chiluk what Shem Hashem was used. In the Makom HaMikdash for a certain period of time, they said the Birchas Kohen using the Yud Kei Vav Kei. And when it comes to outside the Makom HaMikdash, they use the Lashon Adnus, which we use today, the way we pronounce that Kaddish Baruch Hu's name. This continued for a certain period of time when they say, Mishamei Shimonat Tzadik, Pasku HaKonim Elavarech B'Shem HaMafarish, even the Mikdash, that people are not chashuvim, should not use the Shem Hashem inappropriately. But initially there was a difference which Shem Hashem was used in the brach itself. Now, Halach Yud Aleph is perhaps the most important on this page, because it lists now, Rabbi Isai, certain halachas, which are halachal emotion misinais, or perushim ukubalim, which define how the Birchas Kohanim has to be given over. Halach Yud Aleph says, Birchas Kohanim nemeres b'chol makom, it can be said in any place, in the Mikdash, outside the Mikdash, but b'lashon HaKodesh. It can't be said in a translated language. You can daven Shemona Esrei b'chol lashon, but you can't say Birchas HaKohen, it has to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh, Shinema Kos Avarcha B'nei Yisrael, which means Kos Avarcha means not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach them how to position their hands and their fingers in doing the bracha, but He told them this is the language you have to use, and you can't use any other language but the brachas the way they're written in the Torah. Kach Lomdu Mipi HaShmu V'Torah Shel HaPeh, Mimoshe Rabbeinu, Kos Avarcha also means B'Amida, Klaisa had to stand, and the Kohanim had to stand during the recitation of the Birchas Kohanim. Kos Avarchu B'Nesiyas Kapayim. You have to have your hands outstretched in the respective ways in order to perform the mitzvah properly. Kos Avarchu B'Lashon HaKodesh. It must be said B'Lashon HaKodesh, no other language, Rabbi Isai. Kos Avarchu, this is important. Panim Keneged Panim. The Tzibur has to be facing the Kohanim. The Kohen have to be facing the Tzibur. And why am I saying this? Because some people are so superstitious and they're so fearful that somebody might accidentally see the Kohanim during the Duchening, which in actuality will never happen today because we have a Chumra. Our Chumra is, Bizman HaMikdash, the Kohanim, if you remember the picture I just showed you, did not cover their hands or their body with a talis to prevent you from seeing how they're holding the hands of Kedoyim. Today, if you ever saw the way Kohanim basically duchen, they take the talis and they cover them their heads over and they cover their hands over, you don't see their hands, you don't see their heads as part of Aminik Bizman Hazeh. So if that's the case, halacha l'masa, even if you would look at the Kohanim or your children would look at the Kohanim at the time of the bracha, the problem of the what was in the Makom HaMikdash when your hands were on Magula would not be applicable today because everything's covered up anyway. So if that's the case, the fact is you have to teach a mechanech, your children, your family, men and women, that you have to be facing, close your eyes, facing the Kohanim, Panim Keneged Panim, they have to be facing you, you have to be facing them, and you can't turn backwards. Many people make this mistake, but it's the mitzvah lefarsim davizeh, men will have to be careful, it's considered a derech of bizayon, somebody's giving you a brachling verses in sota, and you're turning your back upon them. So if that's the case, that's the bederech eretz, Panim Keneged Panim. Furthermore, kosevarcha b'kalram, it has to be audible. People have to be able to hear the brach emanating from the mouth of the Kohanim. Kosevarcha b'shem ha-mefarish, in the Migdash, it was said b'shem ha-mefarish, yukei vavkei, v'hu shahayi b'makim Migdash, k'ma shemano, outside it was said b'lashin adnus itself. Another thing I want to mention to Rabbi Isai, kosevarcha, then this was discussed by the Rav over Yom Tov on Shavuos, that if you decide you want to be such a gracious Kohen, you want to add a fifth bracha or a sixth bracha, there's an Issa Deraisa Baltasif. These are the brachos, you can't add to them, you can't diminish from them. Basically speaking, that's another thing you want with Kosev Aruchu. This is the Tzuras HaMitzvah, and it can't be added to with all the good intentions you could possibly have. Realize the Rambam mentions this later on as a very important Yisod, etc., and etc. And after the brach is finished, the halach is the Kohanim then turn their faces back, ultimately towards the Heichal. So when they finally finish, you don't see them face to face anymore. And after they turn themselves around, then they're able to put their hands down, etc. and etc. That's the culmination of the Birch Kohanim when it comes to the ultimate procedurals. But one thing is for sure, Rabbi Isai, that the Kohanim themselves, their body positioning was mandated because the Varcho has a lot of Perushim of Kabbalah Mesinai, how it's done, the format it's done, and what you're trying to accomplish by basically giving it over that direction. One more thing I want to mention, Rabbi Isai, and then we'll daven Ma'ariv. We'll daven Ma'ariv right now, after we finish. Listen very carefully. The only other problem that I want to mention is the following. And that is, the mitzvah of Birchas Kohuna, technically speaking, should really be done each and every day. And the fact of the matter is, historically speaking, the Beis Yosef mentions this, and the Aruch HaShulchan reiterates this in Simen Kuf Chav Ches and Hilchos Birchas Kohuna, that the minig of doing duchening each and every day was a minig in the majority, most places in Eretz Yisrael accepted it. In Mitzrayim, it was done each and every day. Even B'nai Aziyah, the Rachshav quotes, had a minig to duchen each and every day. But by and large, when it comes to most of the people living in Gola, in Western and Eastern Europe, where you had, you know, the Gedolei Dor Kedoshim there, Birchas Kohanim was only done, Rabbi Isai, on Yom Tov. And on Yom Tov, it wasn't done by Tula Shachris, except for Simchas Torah, because of Shikris later on, you know, the Kiddush, but it was done basically after Musaf. So the question is why? What's the reason behind this? I'm going to give you a quick synopsis, and with this we'll finish tonight's shiur. So this became the million-dollar question. Why in the world, Rabbi Isai, this little chaver I'm giving you, you can take home and read yourself, because over here I have, in the first chaverah, three pages, giving you all the different shitas, but I'm going to give you the quick consensus over here. The big problem over here is, why didn't we duchen every day in Chutz Laretz? So someone has said, because mostly each and every day, people didn't run to mikveh, and it seems in those days, people had wanted to go to mikveh before they duchen. They looked upon duchening as a sherus, you're doing an avedas Hashem. So therefore, since most places didn't have mikvahs available for everybody to run to mikveh, they wait for Yom Tov, because Yom Tov, everybody's metar themselves for the regel. Everybody goes and cleanses themselves and runs to mikveh kedemer. So for Yom Tov, they have enough tara. So the Mefarshim say upon that, that's ridiculous. There's no makar in halacha that a kohen, unlike the avedas hakarbanas, has to go to mikveh to metar himself. So that's not the reason. The real reason, which ultimately is accepted by the Darchei Moshe, the Ramah, and then quoted by the Gedolei HaPoskim, is predicated upon the following. And that is, when you're duchening, and I'm saying this to anybody who might be a Kohen here tonight, if you're not a Kohen, spread the message to the Kohenim, but we have a good Chazen who usually leads the Kohenim in a good melody during the thing. Chazal point out, in order for duchening to be effective, it has to be done in a state of Simcha Shal Mitzvah. And the best way to accomplish Simcha Shal Mitzvah is by having good Geshmak and Nigunim song, because Chazal tell us that when Elisha became a Mori Shreira, because Eliyahu left and went up to Shemayim, so the Pesukim tell us, in Masechtis in Sefer Malachim that momentarily he lost his Koyach HaNavu because he was very depressed, but Eliyahu went away. So the Pasuk tells us that when people were asking Elisha, we need your help, you're the Navi now. He's like, I can't help you, the Navu was taken away from me because I'm in a state of depression. So they told him, change it. So it says in the Pasuk, Kachumi Menagen, he says, get me a Gita Baal Tfila. And it says in the Pasuk, Kasher Nagen Menagen, Vatiya Lav Yad Hashem. So the Gemara Dash is a Masech L'Shabbos, look it up, the Flamer Mebeis. From here we see that Bezoich V'Shriyas HaShchina of Beteres Nevuah, you have to be in a state of Simcha Shal Mitzvah. That's what Elisha accomplished. Chazal say, Yonis Ben Amitai, when he went to Simcha's Beis HaShoeb, he was so stimulated with the She'ivas HaRuach HaKedesh of the singing in Zmiros, that's when he was first Zoich of Nevuah. That's what Chazal say, She'eva, She'shovim Mesuam Ruach HaKedesh. So Chazal pointed, that's why halach lamasis, since people are avelim and ashrei besimcha, the many gives an avel does not go up to duchen if he's a kohen, he goes out. That's why halach lamasis, Chazal point out, that a person who's there for a saying the brachos has to sing the brachos with a nigin, that's a mesameach dikenigin, in order to basically establish a simcha shomitza mood that they should be zaycha for the brachos and the shefa to come down in Hashemayim. So that is brought down by the poskim explicitly, and that is why Chazal point out that during the rest of the year, when you only had a Shabbos break from the beginning of the week to the end of the week, you was in the, especially in European existence, which was such a depressing existence. You didn't know from today to tomorrow which country you're going to be in. They were kicked out from one country to another country. Nishkahat genik panasa, tremendous anti-Semitism. So on a regular Shabbos, where they were able to rest their bodies in guf from the avodas haperech, they weren't in a state of simcha shel mitzvah to be able to recite the berachas kahuna. But on Yom Tov, where there's a mitzvah, v'samach t'beva huyis nisach semeach, whether they liked it or not, they had to generate a mood of simcha. So if that's the case, that's why the minig in Golus was to do the duchani on Yom Tov. But I'm going to go one step further. Why is it they only do it by Musaf and not by Shachris? So over here, the Dach Moshe says, and later on, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is even more mafurish. He says, when a person's busy davening on Yom Tov, it's a long davening. When does the person reach the ultimate simchas hamitzvah during davening? When they're already holding by Musaf and they realize that after Musaf you're going to have a gavaldik, a kiddush to eat afterwards. So that that moment, their crescendo of simchas hamitzvah is a couple of minutes away. Attitudinally, the samach tebechegecha reaches its ultimate level. That's when the kohenim and klal Yisrael, because the so besimcha realizing what's waiting for them afterwards, that therefore the brach is given them. On simchas Torah, where we cheat a little bit, and we actually have the kiddush after Shachris, so therefore the feeling after Shachris, by the Kriyas Torah, we have that at that point in time. But when most time we don't have a kiddush club, usually, it's only after davening. So you got to wait, Rabbi Yisai, till after davening by Musaf to reach the level of Simcha Shel Mitzvah for the Chaloshim Baruch Tebichal. That's what's brought down by the poskim. I'm not kidding you. So at the end of the day, Rabbi Yisai, please make sure, Chazen, that when they say the Birchas Kohanim, give them Hadracha and singing it, let's hope and pray we should reach the highest levels of Simcha Shel Mitzvah and be able to elevate us to such a level that when we daven and we have the Birchas Kohanim, Rabbi Yisai, it should be some Shabbat Yisai Avarchim, the highest level according to the mandates of Chazal.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.